Good morning, and I'd like to welcome my guest this morning, Carl Corey from the Mum Farm. Carl, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Peter.
I asked you to come on this morning to talk to us about hydrofracking, and since you're someone who's from the area and a farmer, could you tell us your opinions about how this would affect the area and what you see would be the potential threats for us?
Well, certainly. You know, I think at this point in the process, you know, folks know, including our legislators, that, you know, this is something that just isn't appropriate for our part of the world. You know, we are very concerned, of course, of water quality, equally concerned about what we're going to be seeing from this heavy industrialization on the surface in our countryside. I think most everyone that's in rural Oneida County kind of chooses to be here because of the rural setting, because of the pristine environment. And again, I think everybody living in this situation is very, very, very concerned about what is going to even be seen on the surface from this process. I mean, there is no doubt this is absolutely heavy, heavy industrialization. I've received phone calls from folks out in Colorado where this has been taking place for some time, and setting aside the concerns for our water quality, those folks are letting me know that the people in Oneida County need to know that if this process comes to the county, that it will forever change our environment and what we have grown accustomed to, waking up every morning and appreciating our countryside. It will change it forever, as it is very heavy industrialization. When I first heard of this process, and I heard that per well pad, perhaps 1,000 trucks would be required, tractor trailers would be required to bring in water and chemicals and sand and machinery. First thing I said to myself was, well, this is an exaggeration. Someone wants to make a point, and so they're exaggerating here. But then as time went on, I researched this more. It is no exaggeration. Mm-hmm. We are going to see thousands and thousands of tractor trailers traveling our country roads, and I'm also very concerned about that.
Right. And there's also the exhaust fumes that are associated with all that increased truck traffic.
Absolutely. And just the process of all the machinery that's required to extract the shale gas from the earth, you know, that's all run by, you know, diesel engines. Compressor stations, rigs, everything that's done means there's a diesel engine running, and we're going to be exposed to that constantly. It's just something that just is not at all compatible with, again, I think what most people who live in upstate New York in the rural settings have grown to enjoy and love.
Mm-hmm. What are the what's the status of fracking in the town of New Hartford in our area?
In New Hartford, I have attended a few board meetings. I have made it known to our town officials that there are municipalities, you know, surrounding us in other counties who are doing much more than what is happening here in New Hartford and Oneida County. They've done much more at this point at trying to look at what local authority they have as far as keeping this process away from the communities. There are municipalities that are looking at zoning laws and zoning out heavy industrialization, again, that is just not compatible with the communities as they are now. There's municipalities that are very concerned about the safety of their residents. in regards to what we just mentioned with the traffic from the heavy trucks, especially on the hillsides in our community. And so I've been urging our local officials to follow suit and explore the options and see what type of authority they might have in, again, keeping this process out of our communities. I understand this evening there is a board meeting. The town of New Hartford has, or they are, proposing a 6-month moratorium on hydrofracking. There will be a public hearing as a part of the board meeting this evening at 7 o'clock, Butler Hall, in the village of New Hartford. And so I certainly plan on attending then. I would urge everyone who's as concerned as I am, again, about hydrofracking, that they do attend this meeting and let our local officials know that, indeed, they are concerned.
Mm-hmm. Some people I've heard say that they're not too concerned about the issue because they don't think it'll be coming here to New Hartford.
Well, it's interesting here you should say that, because the other night I took some time. Currently, there are some petitions circulating in the community for folks to sign if, indeed, they're not in favor of hydrofracking. And so actually, I wanted to get a better idea in my neighborhood, the roads immediately surrounding my farm. And so I went out the other night with petitions and knocked on doors, door to door. And it was very, very interesting what I was greeted with. I found out that either folks are very informed of hydrofracking and really didn't need to discuss too much. They were just interested in signing a petition to let their town officials know that, indeed, they're concerned. Another situation I ran into is some folks really not. They said, well, I've heard of hydrofracking. Can you tell me what it is? So, of course, I spent some time and tried to educate those folks on what potentially is coming to their community. And then a third response, I guess, yeah, I know about hydrofracking, but it's not going to happen here in New Hartford, is it? And I said, well, it looks like there's a, you know, if the state allows this to happen, that there's a possibility that it could come to New Hartford. There are some folks that are interested in leasing their land. There are currently brokers for the various gas companies in the community offering leases to landowners so that they could have their the shale gas extracted from their land. And I would get questions such as, well, where in New Hartford? And without any exaggeration, I was able to tell the folks, well, right here, right under your house. And they were quite surprised. And I was that was both a good thing and a bad thing. I wish more people knew about it and knew the fact that it certainly has the potential for coming to their community. And I guess the plus side is now there are more folks that know and want to educate themselves and want to be concerned in or involved in what decisions are made.
Mm-hmm. So there is a group that's in our area that is looking into getting their land leased, that's correct?
There is. And my understanding is that basically what we have in New Hartford, and I think it might be this way pretty much all upstate New York, is unfortunately we have a situation now, well, it's been ongoing, but certainly has kind of come to a head, and that being our dairy farmer community, our farmers. Because of milk pricing and government policy on cheap food in the country, whatnot, dairy farmers have for years had a very, very difficult time of paying their bills and making any sort of real profit. And unfortunately, these folks are seeing this gas drilling as perhaps a way to save the family farm and to save their way of life. So it's a shame it's come to that, but I think that's what's happening here in Oneida County. It seems like the people that are mostly interested in leasing their land are folks that have a substantial amount of land and are in the farming community.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard that the moratorium that they'll be the town will be voting on whether or not to have a moratorium that would last 6 months if they decide to approve it.
Correct.
And they can only extend that for another 6 months. So they cannot extend their moratorium beyond 1 year.
Right. I'm not sure of all the timing. I'm not sure if your listeners are aware that as we're speaking, well, actually, last week there was a bill passed in front of the New York State Assembly extending the statewide moratorium for an additional year into June of 2012, and a similar bill is currently in front of the New York State Senate. Well, it's in committee now. Should be coming up for vote shortly. And again, I would urge anyone who is concerned about this process of hydrofracking that certainly they contact Senator Griffel and let them know, let him know that indeed they would like to see this moratorium extended for another year. My concern locally, and even if it is extended, is to just to keep working, really, to do everything possible to keep hydrofracking out of the community in case some decisions are made a year down the road or whenever. I think we have to do everything we can on all levels. On the federal level, currently there is a bill, I think it's referred to as the FRAC Act. Mm-hmm. And basically what that is doing is asking that the exemptions that the gas industries have received from the 1972 Clean Water, Clean Air Acts, that that law, those exemptions be repealed, and that the gas industry, that this process of hydrofracking needs to, you know, follow the same regulations and requirements as any industry in this country, and that it certainly should come under the guidance of the Clean Water, Clean Air Act. So federally, we certainly would like to see the FRAC Act enacted so that there is some accountability for toxic chemicals being used in this process. On the state level, certainly would like to urge all our state legislators to keep this process out of New York. Unfortunately, our friends in Pennsylvania have demonstrated to us that this is indeed a bad process. Even the governor of Pennsylvania at this time, who back in 2009, you know, accepted substantial campaign contributions, anywhere from $1.8 to $1.2 million, depending on what source you want to listen to, but accepted substantial campaign contributions from the gas industry, which certainly helped him be elected in 2009. But even, it's my understanding that even Governor Corbett at this point is having second thoughts on this process. Mm-hmm. I don't think the government understood at what extent and the huge caliber of this operation, and they are starting to be very concerned about the amount of backflow water, of the brine and toxic chemicals that do come back out of the well, the 30% that are recovered, the fact that it's being basically trickled into Pennsylvania's rivers and streams, and again, they didn't have any idea of the volume involved, and I think they're starting to regret their prior decisions.
I've heard estimates from Chesapeake that it's 5.5 million gallons of water per well, and each well can have up to, from anywhere from 8 to 24 horizontal wells on it. So if you did the minimum, which was 8, that would be 44 million gallons of water per well pad.
That's correct. The process requires an immense amount of water. There is, and I have to apologize, I'm not really sure where this bill on permitting water, permitting large quantities of water being removed from the waterways in New York State. There is a bill, either in the Senate or Assembly, at least there's discussion about regulating or permitting that process. And quite frankly, I was talking to Senator Griffel's office yesterday requesting more information exactly on what that bill was about. I've heard that it would be a good thing for the citizens. I've heard it would be a bad thing. And so I am still researching that, but certainly does use an immense amount of water. And now it was interesting as I was looking at some numbers the other day, and there's numbers thrown out there that of the chemicals, the toxic or chemicals that they use in the fracking solution, along with the immense amount of salts in that brine, is. I've heard numbers like it's 1%, 2%. But if you do the math on that, per frack, it equates to something like 280,000 gallons of these chemicals.
Right.
And, of course, that's another aspect of this that people are very concerned about, is we're not really sure what the chemicals are that are being used. I guess there's been some independent analysis done. I've heard pretty strongly that toluene would be one of the chemicals. For the lack of a more precise definition of what the chemicals are, I'm understanding that it's along the lines of diesel fuel. And I think that's one of the aspects of this that really does upset citizens of the state of New York and of the country, that the gas companies have not been made to divulge what the chemicals actually are that they're using. They use the excuse that it is, it's a proprietary formula.
Right.
I think when it comes to the safety of our drinking water, the proprietary aspect just doesn't cut it. It's our right to know what's being injected into the ground. You know, your listeners need to understand that, 30 to 40% of this fracking solution is recovered and needs to be disposed of somehow. And, of course, that's very controversial as to the somehow, how that's going to be done. But people need to really understand that, up to 60% of that solution is left into the earth forever. It just is left to our imagination how that might resurface in, 5, 10, 50, 100 years. And that is certainly one of my concerns, is what we are leaving all of the future generations to deal with.
Were you able to take a look at the congressional report on the chemicals used in hydrofracking?
Well, I understand, and not being a chemist, I did read some of that, and I understand that supposedly it's 200 and some different chemicals. Many of them have been identified, and it's also my understanding that many of them are, known carcinogens also. So I know it's nothing that we really want to see in our environment.
Right. Yeah, I had taken a look at that, and there's a specific, it's 32 pages long, and there's just a specific part of it that is that lists the toxic chemicals, the known toxic chemicals that are, we're being told that are in it, and the companies haven't completely disclosed what's in the, in their chemicals yet.
But, it's funny. It's not funny at all, but it's interesting. It just seems to be a parallel with another situation that I've done a little more research on, kind of stumbled across as I look closer and closer into this hydrofracking. But it's interesting as far as disclosing exactly what chemicals. Now, again, it's my understanding that guess back in the early 70s when this whole situation in the Hudson River with PCBs was being brought to light. I happened to talk to a fellow by the name of Robert Boyle, who resided in Westchester County and now is retired to the Cooperstown area, avid fisherman, writer, sports writer. He was one of the individuals, or the individual, that was responsible for having this PCB contamination in Hudson River come to light. And in the in a conversation with him, it was very interesting and parallels the situation. Is they did have a challenge in identifying. They knew something was going on with the fish and wildlife in the river. They didn't know exactly what. They used the expertise of some folks in Norway that were studying a similar problem. But the point I'm trying to make is they were looking actually for the wrong chemical, because General Electric was able to list the chemicals that they were using. They listed a chemical that was very, very, very closely related to PCB, but had a different name.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a very, very well-trained scientist to be able to ascertain which of the two chemicals they're looking at in an analysis. And when they decided, because they had seen some PCB things happening in Norway, they decided to look in that route, and certainly that's when they discovered that that was indeed the problem that we were having in the Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's interesting that it seems like we'd learned from those things that, you know, I guess one of the things that I'm learning about and having the hardest time with, and a lot of my friends, and I guess I do admit that for the past several years I've been fairly naive as of the legislative process and why folks are involved in politics. And in the past I always felt that folks were involved in leadership positions because they certainly wanted to do what they possibly could for the good of their communities. And now I'm learning that, you know, and again, I apologize for being so naive, but that when there's immense amount of money involved in these type of things, that maybe the ability or desire to do the right thing sometimes takes a back seat. And unfortunately, I think that's a big part of what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. From the congressional report, it says the EPA scientists talk about butoxethanol. It's a foaming agent or surfactant in 126 products, and it's easily absorbed and rapidly distributed in humans following inhalation, ingestion, or dermal exposure. And studies have shown that exposure can cause hemolysis, destruction of red blood cells, damage to the spleen, liver, and bone marrow. The hydrofracking companies injected 21.9 million gallons of product containing 2BE between 2005 and 2009. And so that's one of the chemicals that's being used. Doesn't sound like it's too good for you.
No. And I really haven't focused on that too much because, quite frankly, as far as the type of chemicals, I do know that there's heavy metals involved. I know there's formaldehyde involved. I know there's benzene involved. I know there's all sorts of toxic chemicals. And again, I apologize. I've just, in my own mind, I've just taken that as this is a known situation. This is a no-brainer. This isn't really open to debate any longer. We know what's being injected into the earth is all sorts of things that can end a human life. And so I've really recently been focusing on what we can do to the political process, what we can do to stop this terrible situation.
So if we do have a ban on hydrofracking in New York State that was effective in keeping companies from drilling here, we also need some kind of legislation to keep fracking flowback waste and fracking solids from being shipped into our state and dumped as well, correct?
Absolutely. I have just a couple of situations I know of, and I will preface this with that, you know, I'm no expert in all of this. I'm just an individual who's very concerned about the process, who is trying to learn everything they can do about it. I try to be careful not to put anything across as a fact unless I'm pretty certain it is a fact. Now, it's my understanding that here in New York State that we have accepted some fracking flowback solution from the drilling process in Pennsylvania. I think the city of Auburn, the city of Watertown has accepted tractor trailers load of this fracking solution, and what they're doing with it is they're simply adding it to their or trying to treat it through their wastewater facilities. Now, the thing that I don't quite understand, well, I guess bottom line is the preferred or maybe the only actually preferred, because there's another way that they're where they're not really disposing of this fracking solution. At times they put it into wells that have been totally, gas wells that have been totally harvested, and then they just fill the wells full of this fracking solution and leave it there for eternity. But I guess another solution is just diluting this fracking solution. So what they're doing basically in a sewage treatment plant or in a wastewater plant is just trickling it into the system so that it's trickling into our rivers and in our streams, rivers, and lakes, and they're counting on dilution to take care of the problem. You know, I will mention, Peter, that I have talked to individuals as far as needing some science on this. It's very, very, you know, not being a scientist, not, you know, understanding totally all these facts. I would love to see at some point, and I'm surprised it hasn't happened, is I would love to see our tax dollar, our federal tax dollar, used to perhaps fund some real science through, say, the National Science Foundation. Mm-hmm. Some real science conducted by scientists who perhaps don't have an agenda on either side of the issue and could offer people like you and me and your listeners some pure science on this process. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that the federal government, I'm surprised that hydrofracking has gotten this far without that happening. In fact, probably more than surprised, I'm a bit appalled with our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Another place that the frack water was put is one of the Finger Lakes. Speaker in Albany, her name is Sandra Steingraber. She lives there, and she said she learned that there was fracking wastewater put into a place where her drinking water comes from 2 years after the fact from reading a New York Times article.
Yeah, I'm, again, I guess I am. I'm absolutely appalled that this process has come this far. Now, I think it was in our local Observer Dispatcher. I was just reading an article where the citizens of California have just learned that hydrofracking has been taking place in their state and without their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, they're appalled. I just, for the life of me, can't understand how our leadership, how irresponsible they can be to be letting this happen, one, without us being involved, and two, without full disclosure, without some good science. I just don't get it. The only part of that I get and the only explanation I have is the type of thing that happened in Pennsylvania when, you know, industries contribute millions of dollars to people's campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
We need to, and I don't know what we can do about that. We need to be vocal. We need to come to the meeting tonight at New Hartford, at Butler Hall, down in the village of New Hartford. We need to let local leadership, state leadership, federal leadership know that this is not acceptable, this is wrong, and they need to start doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So we have all this talk about the problems with this and that what we should do about it. Why are people on the other side in favor of fracking? Any ideas?
Well, you know, I have asked and asked that question, and genuinely would like to know. I have asked folks that I know are in support of this, and they don't have a lot to say, and I can only draw the conclusion that the reason they don't have a lot to say, and it's because it's hard for them to stand there and look at you and say, because as a landowner, I'm going to make money. Mm-hmm. And a natural part of that, or part B of that sentence would be, and I'm sorry, but I don't really care what's happening to your and my environment. So far, and I would extend an invitation out there to anyone to give me a call at the Mum Farm and let me know why they think this could perhaps be a good thing, because for the life of me, I cannot figure it out. As far as I've been told over and over again, and common sense tells you that as far as local, a local impact on the economy, we're going to, as far as jobs, I guess that doesn't really happen. What I'm being told is that the gas companies are bringing their workers with them, their trained workers with them. You may get some folks around here that may find jobs driving some of these trucks. Restaurants may do a little more business, but I'm also understanding that the downside of it economically would be things like the wear and tear on our roads, the impact on our police departments, our hospitals, public safety agencies. I just don't see the pluses. And again, I would invite anyone to give me a call, stop by and see me, and if they really feel that there's some sort of benefit from this process to the residents of New Hartford and New York State, I would be very open to listening to them.
Mm-hmm. One piece that I've heard about this is that the, I believe it's the Chesapeake Company is taking 30% of their leases that they're creating with people and bundling them and selling them to foreign investors.
Well, as far as, again, the economic on a different level, I'm again, not an expert on, you know, futures and commodities and gas prices. I do know that natural gas seems to, as far as pricing, seems to have booms and busts. I know currently that, according to the New York Times, the current price for natural gas on the market is one half of what it was 3 years ago. I have talked to people, and this is not second or third hand. This is person-to-person discussions from people who live out in, say, the state of Utah. I do understand that in this country currently, there is natural gas being simply vented to the atmosphere or flared off. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding that natural gas is a byproduct of coal mining. It's a byproduct of drilling for oil. I was talking to an individual who lives in Utah, and they explained to me that of the thousands of coal mines in Utah, of course, methane gas is a natural byproduct of that. The coal company does not own the mineral rights to the gas, only to the coal. No one owns the mineral rights to the gas, and it is simply vented to the atmosphere. Again, it doesn't make sense. He told me that the amount, just the coal mine down the road from him, is venting off enough gas in a 24-hour period to take care of a city of 10,000 for a 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what's going on in the country, why, you know, we're allowing this type of thing to happen. Meanwhile, we're looking at forever contaminating this pure water, this irreplaceable resource that we have in New York State, when in other parts of the world, Alaska, they're flaring off natural gas. Again, I would, and this was a part of my call to Senator Griffel. I think it would be a very appropriate for some of our national and state leaders that are involved in this issue to invite citizens to sit down with them, and perhaps I would like to know how much they know about this process. that we could ask questions, that we could have a nice, you know, exchange of concerns, and perhaps they could educate us to what the situation really is. I think that would be very appropriate for someone in those leadership positions.
Right. Another concern that I've heard specifically about our area is that there's a lot of naturally occurring radiation within the ground. So all of our flowback water, well, not all of it, but if we have a place where there's radiation below the ground and you pump the water in, it's going to come back radioactive.
Right, and it's not just the flowback water, my understanding. It's also the solids. It's also the cleanings that come out of the from the drilling process. I don't claim to be a scientist, but just common sense is telling me that if we're having our homes tested for naturally occurring radon, which is in the earth, well, certainly, if we're drilling down through this material, I'm sure that is where the radon is coming from. And now that we're just bringing it to the surface, and we've got to properly dispose of those cleanings. It's also my understanding, and again, this is where I would like to see the science, because I went to a meeting, say a month ago, where someone was talking about the fact that the gas itself, once they harvest the shale gas, that it actually has radioactive particles that actually bind themselves to the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, geez, that's interesting. So, of course, I went and I Googled that subject. And the first two articles I came up with was indeed a scientist, PhD, saying this is true. You know, it will be radioactive product. And then the second article was another PhD saying it's not.
Hmm.
And now the only interesting thing, and this is why I would like some scientists with that perhaps don't have an agenda, I look at the fellow's credentials, and, you know, he was employed by gas companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly is another aspect. I just feel that this process certainly can't happen until all of these issues are resolved, again, by good science, not just necessarily gas company science.
Mm-hmm. Just in case there's anybody who'd like to get a question in, the telephone number here is 859-4200. 859-4200 if you have a question for Carl or myself, or you just want to make a comment, feel free to give us a call. 859-4200.
Now, something that other folks, and again, this is an issue around this that bothers me, is the law, and I'm not sure, I know it's currently on the books. It is the law of the land in New York State. I don't know how long it has been, but the law of compulsory integration. I was very surprised to hear about that. And basically, for your listeners' benefit, the way that that works is that if the gas company is able to obtain mineral rights to 60% of the land mass that they want to harvest this gas from, 60%, then they actually stop looking for rest of the landowners to lease them their land, because in New York State, this law allows, once 60% of a land mass is leased, then that allows the gas company to go anywhere they want in looking for this gas. Now, they can't, let's say that my neighbor signs up, neighbors around me sign up, they lease their land, I do not, that they cannot come on the surface of my land, but they certainly can go under my land and harvest the gas from the substrata under my land. And I was just very surprised that that's the way it works, but indeed it is here in New York State.
Right, so if people are opposed to that, they would need to call their legislators and tell them they'd like the law changed for compulsory integration.
Exactly, yes.
And I do hear if you... if there is compulsory integration, you don't consent to having drilling underneath you, but you're forced to by compulsory integration. The gas company does have to pay you royalties. And
they do. There's a, you know, that's another whole aspect. There's so much to this issue, but that's a whole other aspect. Is I guess there's three levels or three ways that you can be involved with the gas company as a landowner. And one is to enter right in as a partnership with them, lease your land. You are going to lease the land. You're going to be receiving a payment per acre for leasing the land plus royalties at a certain percentage for whatever gas is harvested. Now, the other thing that's interesting, and I really know very little about this, people have told me also that these landowners, when they sign leases, they are assuming liability, just as the gas company has liability. And, you know, not having any interest whatsoever into committing any of my land to this process. I really haven't looked into that, but boy, that seems like something that, you know, the folks that are considering would want to be concerned about. And then, of course, if I'm not leasing my land and they were to be harvesting gas from underneath, that they would have to offer a royalty. It's at a lower percentage. But, you know, with me, that's neither here nor there. I really am betting on it. The process never gets that far.
Well, the one thing that, the reason I brought that up is because some people feel like if their neighbors are all selling out to hydrofracking, then they should too, because they don't want to get nothing out of it. But just to explain that even if you don't, even if you continue to not lease, you can and they do, it does go through, you still get the royalties. So some people were getting scared into signing up for the leasing that, you know, their gas, they would take the risk as well and not get any of the royalties.
Ah, yep, I understand. You know, that's another part of it, which I haven't gotten involved in too much. I've heard all sorts of horror stories on how gas companies, you know, have approached people, you know, the type of tactics they have used. I don't know a whole lot about that. You know, I've heard stories where, you know, gas companies have knocked on a door and said, you know, we'd like to lease this land. This is how much is involved money-wise. And it's on a Friday afternoon, and we'll be back Monday, and you need to decide by Monday. And, you know, people need to know that none of that type of thing is ever true, that they don't have to make hasty decisions like that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to cover before we finish up?
No, I guess I would just like to emphasize the fact that I think most everyone involved or that knows anything about this process at all knows that environmentally and the potential for contaminating our drinking water, it's there. I don't see any reason why hydrofracking should really be allowed to take place in New York State. Part of that is I don't know what the darn hurry is. The gas has been there for a million years. I bet it's not going anywhere.
Right.
A lot of things have happened in Pennsylvania. Maybe New York State just needs to take a real deep breath, maybe, oh, perhaps a 10-year-long deep breath, maybe 20, and let's see what these poor folks in Pennsylvania, we know some of the things they're already dealing with, but let's see 10, 20, 30 years down the road, you know, what they might be dealing with. I don't understand the hurry, except for, on some people's part, the hurry to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
This is just not good for New York State, and I would urge everyone out there to do what I am doing, what a lot of my neighbors are doing. You really need to contact Richard Hanna. You need to contact Senator Griffo. You need to contact your local officials, your assembly people. You need to let them know that this needs to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. And again, the meeting is this evening at in New Hartford at Butler Hall, 7 o'clock
it's
p.m.
7, yes.
And so hopefully people will turn up there to either listen to what's happening or contribute your thoughts and concerns.
And, you know, and that's true. If anything, people certainly should be there this evening. It's really would behoove them to be there and just to really listen and to be able to educate, you know, start their educational process on this hydrofracking.
Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Carl.
My pleasure.
And I'll see you this evening.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you to your listeners.
Take care.